Listen, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can heal the sick and afflicted when we believe in prayer. It's not just a matter of human effort or formulas or incantations spoken in repetition until we finally believe. No, we're talking about the promises of God, where those things are entrusted to the church to live in, to experience, and to minister. Divine healing is a matter of people being healed and made well by the power of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hi there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I thank you for listening to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today, we're talking about the subject matter of becoming agents of healing. And let me give you a little homework assignment, if I may. Please do read Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, or just read the entire chapter of Matthew 8. This whole podcast is based in that passage of Scripture. So as we read through Matthew 8, we learn that the healing ministry of Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of prophecy. The Bible tells us that He Himself, Jesus, He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. This was originally prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53, verse 4. So the focal point of this study isn't only the fact that Jesus heals, but that He wants to use us, you and me, as the agency through which His healing power is transmitted or communicated. When Jesus heals, what we do with that healing is just as important to the Lord as when we've received it. God isn't going to randomly heal people who use their life for self-destruction or for ruining other people's lives. No, we can't live any old way and think that God is going to pick up the pieces after we've made a wreck of our bodies. And yet, even then, God is so good that He intervenes. When we come to Jesus, He works deliverance, often bringing a new hope and a new lease on life. But what we do with our life after being healed is also vitally important. Let's talk about healing and serving. In Matthew 8, verses 14 and 15, we see that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. It took but a touch from Jesus to make her well. And then she immediately arose and saw to the needs of all those present. Praise God, her healing was a springboard to serving others. So how about when Jesus touches us? Well, when Jesus touches us and we are healed, we can believe that He has the ability to touch other difficulties in our lives too. We become people who understand and who receive the dimensions of His power. Here's two important principles involved. First of all, when the Lord touches one particular area of our life, we must not limit His reach. He can touch other areas of difficulty as well, if we're just open, teachable, humble. Now, also, we can be the middleman, the significant person who makes a difference, whether or not the healing flow comes to someone. Now, our example is the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. And here we're talking about delivering the word of faith. So Matthew 8, verses 3 through 13, is often used to teach one of the great power principles of the Bible. That principle is called the word of faith. It is knowing that what God says is true, and it rules and overrules any circumstance where we abide in that faith. Circumstances don't matter, dear one. It's the spirit of the love of God and the compassion of Christ that ministers those things. However, this principle is still in effect, even when the word of faith that we're confessing doesn't seem to work out the way we wanted it. This isn't because God backed down on his word, no, but because somehow we didn't properly understand how to apply the key to the circumstance. So here we go, the centurion and his servant. We learn from Matthew 8, verse 13, that the servant was healed in the same hour that Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." We find nothing in the text that says the servant did anything before his healing happened. There's one significant point, though. The centurion mentioned that this servant was faithful in doing all he was told to do. That's Matthew 8, verse 9. His faithfulness touched the master's heart. The wholeness which came to the servant was actually the glorious product of what someone else did. A display of God's grace and healing came because the centurion was willing to be an instrument of intervention and because of his faith in God. So, dear ones, I can't stress this enough. And what is that fact? The fact is that God is willing. Yes, God's will is to deliver. His will is to fill. His will is to save. And his will is to heal. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him," in Matthew 8, verse 7. Here again is the divine affirmation that God was ready to heal. Jesus is the express image of the Father's will in everything he did in ministry. The fullness of God the Father is manifest in him. Jesus always responds to the call for help, and he always brings healing. Anything short of this has to do with our incapacity to receive all that God has to give. Sometimes healing is, boom, immediate. And in other instances, it takes time. It progresses over time, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. Our responsibility is to be open to it. Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith when he said, "Master, only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." This Roman soldier recognized that Jesus was functioning in unlimited authority. Therefore, nothing was outside the arena of possibility. And two things are very notable in this story. His rejection of social tradition and his recognition of Jesus' power. See, a Roman doesn't come to a Jew for any reason, because Jews were subjugated by the Romans. But on the other hand, Jews don't have anything to do with Romans either. Both the centurion and Jesus were rejecting the norm. when we recognize that Jesus has the situation within his domain of operation, we can become instruments which release the power of God. Oh, yes. We must understand that Jesus can and will work healing in people. Jesus searches for an agent or a middleman who can receive something for someone else. It takes more than just people who know how to speak the word of faith, though. There is a sympathy which moves us into action. In this case, the master broke social tradition and sought to help because his servant was, the Bible said, dreadfully tormented. The centurion came to Jesus, violating all that he was taught. There needs to be a certain breaking with tradition in every one of us, dear one. We need to be willing to upset our own theology, our own ideology as well. We need to be willing to open up to a flow of compassion, the compassion of Christ. By believing that the word of Jesus Christ is powerful in any situation, we become agents of that flow to people. So we must believe that his ministry is divine in nature and beyond the ordinary. Oh, dear one, I feel the presence of God as we're discussing this right now, don't you? Listen, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can heal the sick and afflicted when we believe in prayer. It's not just a matter of human effort or formulas or incantations spoken in repetition until we finally believe. No, we're talking about the promises of God, where those things are entrusted to the church to live in, to experience, and to minister. Divine healing is a matter of people being healed and made well by the power of Jesus Christ, according to God's word, ministered in his love. So, are you willing? Are you willing? Listen, until the Church of Jesus Christ learns how to be the agency by which the Lord works, there will be a lot of sickness prevailing in this world. The paralytic in Luke 5, verse 16 through 20, was carried to Jesus by his friends. We can find paralytics in so many parts of life these days, those whose lives are falling apart because they're physically crippled, or emotionally crippled, or sociologically crippled. Sickness cannot survive when people decide to break with tradition, reject social convention, and let the compassion of Jesus fill their hearts. When we come to the Savior to receive from him that one who is of a distance and believe him for the flow of life in that person, we will be those agents and instruments of healing. You know, sometimes people think that they don't want to bother Jesus for his provisions. There are others who don't move into action because they just don't want to bother doing it or aren't even bothered by it. Oh, dear loved ones, when you are willing to be bothered or inconvenienced, you move into the liberty of seeing the power of God pass from you into someone else. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the touch of Jesus. But we must be the ones who touch others, allowing his love to flow through us. For the love of God to flow, it flows on the basis of people who believe that the word of Jesus Christ is all-powerful, believe that the will of God is to minister wholeness and are available to whatever inconvenience is involved on their part. Dear ones, we are to be willing to see the truth in being a channel of the healing life of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, I thank you for those who are listening today. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. All of us, Lord, who are within the sound of my voice, fill us as we open our hearts to you for more of you, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us with your loving power, with your compassion, with the authority that's found in your word and in your holy name. And give us a holy boldness to reach out to others, to come to them with sympathy, with compassion, to lay hands on the sick and to watch them recover. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what you did 2,000 years ago, you still do through us, your family, today. Be glorified, I pray, in and through all of our lives. For those of you who are sick, be healed and made whole. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you for listening to our little podcast today. And please do go to Amazon.com or to my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and pick up a copy of my latest book. It's called The Forgiving Heart. You can find it in paperback and in Kindle ebook format. You're going to love it. And if there's anything that we need, if there's anything that society and the church needs today, now more than ever, it's a forgiving heart. So pick up a copy of my new book, The Forgiving Heart. It'll be a blessing. In fact, get a few copies. Pass around a few. Give them away. Read it yourself and act on it. And forgive, freely forgive, from a heart of love. You'll be glad you did. Now, until we meet again, thank you for listening. But let me pray this blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, your family, and home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.